Side honor them crazy murderers will never run from inside. You try to keep me down cause you see no joy. All them knows them from, so you call a man a boy. I ain't a tie, can't just see, open up your eyes.
The thing that makes Judaism dangerous to everybody, to every race, to every nation, to every idea, is that we smash things that aren't true. We don't believe in the boundaries of nation state. We don't believe in the ideas of these individual gods that protect individual groups of people. These are all artificial constructions, and Judaism really teaches us how to see that. In a sense, our detractors have us right, in that we are a corrosive force. We're breaking down the false gods of all nations and all people because they're not real.
And here we go, folks. It is Thursday, May the 7th, 2026 AD, the year of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Gentiles, and you are listening to today's edition of the Ugly Truth broadcast. Welcome to the program, folks. Hope you're all doing well. Those of you of goodwill, as we like to say often, we don't wish our enemies well, folks, not when they have sworn themselves to our complete and utter destruction. Thousands of years before any of us so much as took our first breath or took our first step. Yes, folks, we are dealing with an enemy of this sort who hates us not for anything that we've done, but rather because of who we are and who we are not. We're not one of them. We are just animals that have been created to appear as humans so as to best serve them. And so we don't wish them well, folks. We wish them utter frustration, ruination, all of their plans going up in smoke. And clearly this has been the will of the Creator, folks, because every time this particular group of people, it looks as though they're about to close the door or close the book on our existence, everything that they have built falls apart. And that's what this program is about, folks, is helping to speed that process along of having all of their plans fall apart. Anyway, folks, so we mentioned on the last program, by the way, if it sounds like I've been drinking, I haven't, folks. I bit my tongue, and so now my tongue is all swollen up, and I sound like this ridiculous person with a swollen tongue. Anyway, last program we talked about having Stas on. We will, folks, this weekend. We tried to do a program yesterday, but ran into some technical difficulties on Stas's end. Could not get the sound card on his computer to function, but that's okay. We will be getting together tomorrow to put together a program that hopefully will air Saturday. Assuming that all of us are still alive, folks, it's always a big question mark. It's a bigger question mark every day. Every day that goes by, unfortunately, we are closer and closer to D-Day, meaning Doomsday, Destruction Day, because the very same people that a certain carpenter from the town of Nazareth lost his life warning us about, somehow we didn't get the memo. Anyway, on that program with Stas, folks, it'll be purely political. We're not going to be delving as much into the philosophical roots of these existential problems that we're facing. It'll be purely political. And on that note, folks, the reason why we are spending the amount of time that we are talking about the philosophical roots of this problem is because this is something that should have been done a long time ago. As we have said often on this program, as we try to say every day on the website, when there's commentary, editorial commentary added to a story, we have to understand the philosophy that is driving all of this, folks. If you don't understand this, then none of it is going to make sense. And you're going to wind up believing the wrong things. You're going to wind up in the wrong, not just in the wrong neighborhood, folks, but in the wrong solar system. And unfortunately, this is the problem that we face right now. Everybody knows that there's something wrong, but they don't know exactly what is wrong or why things have gotten to the mess that we where they are right now, and why, you know, ostensibly the most powerful man in the world finds himself powerless when it comes to pulling the plug on World War III and Armageddon. And so, folks, that's why we have to read the fine print. You know, in any contract that you sign, whether it's for a car loan or a house loan or whatever it is, there's always some kind of fine print that is represented by an asterisk, which probably by no coincidental, folks, is a Star of David. It's a six-pointed little thing down there. And it's always written in very, very small script. They don't want your eyes to go to that particular passage. But they put it in there so that later on, when they're ready to take everything from you, they can point to the fine print and say, well, you signed this. You signed on to this. There's your signature right there, and this fine print appeared, you know, on the document itself. And so you're basically left powerless. You can't fight against it. You signed your life away. You signed this piece of paper without reading the fine print. We always have to read the fine print on things, folks. And the reason now that the world finds itself in foreclosure, quote-unquote, and repossession, quote-unquote, where everything that we have built up over the course of thousands of years, especially the West, and this thing known as Western Christian civilization, the reason that it's being foreclosed upon and repossessed, and it's in the process of being taken down stone by stone, brick by brick, is because the people, the lawyers that we trusted a long time ago to read through these contracts and to read the fine print didn't fill us in. We talked about this on the last couple of programs, folks, how we find ourselves in this state of spiritual and cultural dysentery because we were never given the clean, pure, perfect water of liberation that Jesus Christ gave his life to give us. The people who took care of the estate after he was gone made this monumentally and apocalyptically bad decision to crossbreed the religion and the teachings of the Jews and their violent God Yahweh with the teachings of Jesus Christ. And as Jesus said, you know, you cannot serve two masters. You'll either love the one and hate the other, or hate the one and love the other. In effect, folks, what has happened is that all of us now, living every day of our lives, every minute of every day of our lives, with a knife to our throat, a gun to our head, and a noose around our neck, we are the victims of an arranged marriage to a psychopath, okay? We were forced into this thing, this marriage known as Judeo-Christianity, and now we can't get away from this, you know, this other party that wants us dead. Okay. Now we talked about this on the last program, folks. That what we have to do is begin the process of divorcing ourselves, cleansing our systems of every vestige of this, of these contaminants, these pollutants that unfortunately have been infused into our intellectual and mental and spiritual bloodstream. We have to get every single subatomic particle of this poison out of our systems, folks. Now, I failed to mention it on the last program why this is important, why we must do this. And the reason why, folks, is because, you know, I've been getting, I know I bounce around a lot, folks. I'm actually answering the original thing, the because thing. I've gotten quite a few emails from listeners saying, my goodness, you know, you're really on a you're on a roll here. You're saying things that really aren't being said anywhere else. And, you know, these ideas are really fresh and new and original. Well, yes and no, folks. They're original in the sense that they're not getting a lot of coverage, certainly not the coverage that they should, but I don't think that there's anything original about them. And something that we have said often here as of late, folks, is that once you liberate the language, okay, then you're going to find that your intellect, your rational intellect, will go into all sorts of places that it didn't realize existed, you know, into all sorts of rooms where there were all sorts of important truths that need to be known. And so, and like I said, an important part of doing that is liberating the language. Once you liberate the language, you take the handcuffs and the leg irons off of the language. It's amazing how much the world and truth just opens up in front of you. Okay? So, and in liberating the language, folks, as we said on the last program, and why it's so important that we, you know, we stay true to the original message. We stay true to the faith. And what that means is that if we call ourselves, consider ourselves followers of this freedom fighter, this revolutionary rebel named Jesus Christ, then we have to be willing to use the kind of language that he did. And in trying to make his point, folks, underscoring how deadly serious all of this was, Jesus used some really, really powerful language, okay, when it came to his enemies, who right now, as I said earlier, have a knife to our throat, a gun to our head, and a noose around our neck. He didn't just say that they were, you know, mistaken, they were in error, they were, you know. He referred to them as reptiles, vipers, poisonous snakes, children of their father, the devil. Okay, pretty harsh language, folks. Lots of salt in those words, and not just for reasons of theatrics or drama or hyperbole, folks. He was trying to tell us something related, well, to all time, but especially to now. On the last program, we talked about this ridiculous radio program that I had been listening to in the car, and it was a program that I assume got some pretty good traction across the country, folks, maybe even across the world. And whoever this lunatic was, this lunatic pastor, you know, he was saying that, you know, that this cryptic, hard to interpret description found in the last book of the Bible, the book of the Apocalypse, also known as the book of Revelations, that there's this mark of the beast that in the end times, all of those who are damned are going to bear this mark of the beast. And, you know, I expected to hear something related to, you know, the world in which we're living right now, which is on the brink of World War III and Armageddon and all the rest of that. No, folks. This mark of the beast, this mark of the Antichrist that people have been waiting for now, you know, to be fulfilled for the the last 2,000 years, according to these people, it's that any church, any Christian faith that gathers on Sunday instead of on Saturday, which is the Jews' Sabbath, that that is the mark of the beast. That if you go to church, any Christian church on a Sunday, that means that you're one of the worshipers of the beast. And I thought, my goodness, this is just, this is amazing. I mean, it would be one thing if this were just some little Facebook posting or, you know, some tiny little YouTube channel that, you know, had gotten, that gets, you know, a couple of dozen hits a year. But no, folks, this is something that I would imagine was broadcast all over the United States and heard by millions of people. Anyway, you know, we mentioned the term on the last program related to all of this, folks, this thing known as Antichrist Incorporated. Okay, and in talking with one of the listeners of the program earlier this week, she commented on what an interesting turn of phrase this was, Antichrist Incorporated. Of course, those of you who follow this program know that we refer to Judea Incorporated, and we refer to Murder Incorporated, and now we've just added this new terminology of Antichrist Incorporated, meaning that it's this giant, sprawling piece of machinery that, like any corporation, you know, it's got boards of directors, it's got a articles of incorporation that detail how it's going to function, you know, its purpose and all of the rest of that stuff. Well, folks, there is no mystery to anybody who is paying attention, and especially those who have made the study of Jesus Christ, and particularly the last 3 years of his life that ended in the way that it did on Crucifixion Friday, there should be no mystery as to who or what this Antichrist is, okay? There's only one group of people out of 8 billion human souls right now on this planet, folks, who are opposed to Jesus Christ. It's not the Muslims. It's not the Buddhists. It's not the Hindus. It's only the Jews. They are the only people on the planet. This one almost statistically insignificant group of subhumanity. Okay, whatever it is, 0.1% of the entire world's population. In other words, folks, 99.999999% of the world's population look upon Jesus Christ favorably. 99%. Whether they're Muslims, whether they are Hindus, whether they're Buddhists, okay, they may not share the same view of Jesus Christ that Christians do, but they look upon Jesus very favorably. There's only one tiny speck of subhumanity, that is opposed to Jesus Christ, that is anti-Christ, and it's the Jews. And this secret has been sitting there now for, not so secretively, for the last 2,000 years, just waiting for people to figure this out. Now, I know we're kind of bouncing all over the place here, folks, getting back to the last program's discussion and the, you know, our therapeutic mission of de-Judaizing ourselves. So why is this so important? Well, folks, in addition to the fact that you will feel much better once you get this poison out of your system, you will find yourself able to think much better. Things in the news that seem to be confusing or unclear become less confusing and less unclear. Once you begin this process of thinking like a Gentile, using the Gentile brain with which you were blessed by your Creator, you'll be amazed at how the world just opens up in front of you, and you begin to understand things. so much better. And on that note, folks, you know, taking this from the theoretical into the practical, we're going to do a little exercise here of what it means to liberate the language and to cleanse ourselves of this, all of this confusion and this murkiness. Now, to do this, I have taken a section of a recent interview that Tucker Carlson did with Professor Jeffrey Sachs. Now, before we get into that, let me just say that I hold both Mr. Carlson and Professor Sachs in very high regard. Now, Professor Sachs refers to himself as a Jew, but he certainly does not act like one, folks. You know, if he didn't have that last name, and if he didn't reference from time to time the fact that he grew up in a Jewish environment, I would have mistaken him for a Gentile, because he certainly does not think and behave like a Jew. Okay, so anybody out there listening to this, thinking that I'm homing in on him and I've targeted him for destruction, I haven't. However, there are some things that he said in his most recent interview with Tucker Carlson that are very problematic. Now, I don't think that he is engaging in a disinformation campaign. I think that he, like anybody else who has not cleansed their thought processes of all the corrupting properties of Jewish thinking, that it's easy to fall into these mental traps, okay? So I'm not hyper-focusing on Professor Sachs or on Tucker Carlson. I'm using this as an example in how we have to start doing this process of separating the wheat, which is the good stuff, right? We used to make bread and, most importantly, pasta, probably the most important staple on the planet. It's a little joke between me and a good friend of mine in Rome. We are going to separate the wheat from the chaff and the darkness, the dark from the light, so that we can begin this process of having this conversation with other people as well. So, as I said, folks, we've got this interview here. It's only about 5 minutes long, and let's see, I want to keep today's program at around 30 minutes, so hopefully we'll be able to get through this, and you'll understand what we're talking about here when we talk about liberating the language and being precise in our understanding of things, because right now, folks, what we need more than anything else is the crystal clearest of clarity, meaning that water that we take into our systems has to be pure water. It cannot be contaminated. It cannot be in any way spiked to make us sick. So let's just begin listening to this very short dialogue between Tucker Carlson and Professor Sachs, and then we will begin to pull it all apart.
Netanyahu's absence of an exit ramp starts from his own radicalism, not only from his fear, but from a complete absence of diplomacy that recognizes that there's another side that needs to be dealt with as human beings. And where that extremism comes from is, I'm not sure. It's very pathological. You could find it in some religious extremist views that this is our land, God gave it to us, it's nobody else's, and everyone else has to get the hell out. I'm not sure exactly what motivates it, but there's a complete collapse of understanding that there are people to talk to that actually want to make peace. I can also say...
Okay, folks, so the very reasonable Professor Sachs. He says he doesn't know exactly where this comes from. It could come from some extremist religious views, and that basically we find ourselves in the mess that we're in right now because of one man, Benjamin Netanyahu, and his absence of diplomacy, his unwillingness to talk to other people about peace. Well, folks, again, I'm not homing in on Professor Sachs to do him any harm, okay? But I am here to clarify a few things. Okay, he frames this within the context that he doesn't really know where this comes from. Wrong, folks. We know exactly where this comes from. It comes from a book that has been around for thousands of years. To the Christians, it's known as the Old Testament. To the Jews, it's known as the Torah. And it's very, very clear, folks, what it says within this Old Testament and this Torah, which is that this one tiny group of people, the chosen people, they have been given this piece of land. And not only have they been given it, they have been ordered, they have been commanded to go in and to slaughter every living thing. Men, women, children, infants, camels, sheep, goats, donkeys, trees. They're supposed to yank out fruit trees and other anything that would provide any kind of sustenance for the people living on that land. So this isn't a question mark, folks. Now, exactly why Professor Sachs would frame this within this kind of language, I don't know. I don't know. We'll get into that after we hear a few more things from
him. There are two variants of Israeli extremism that are not the same, but they are now literally a coalition. I mean, they're literally a political coalition, they are a ideological coalition as well. So one is the view, every generation, they're out to kill us. We have to kill them before they kill us. The preemptive strike, the clean break idea. But again, grounded in this perverse, maybe related idea that there will never be a Palestine alongside an Israel, which is actually what led to clean break, led to all these wars, led to the militancy, was the absence of Palestinian political rights alongside Israeli political rights, the so-called two-state solution.
Okay, folks, so Professor Sachs says that we find ourselves in this situation because these nutcases in Israel, we have two variants of extremists, one of them represented by the Netanyahu types, that they are rooted totally in the security of Jews, that every, you know, everywhere the Jews have gone, in every time period, the people, the Gentiles, rise up against them. And that they're out to kill them, and therefore, because of this, there can be no Palestinian state. Well, no, folks. The reason why there cannot be any Palestinian state, along with why there can be no Lebanese state, or any Syrian state, or any Jordanian state, or any Egyptian state east of the Nile, or any Iraqi state west of the Euphrates, is because this is what is written in that book known as the Old Testament to Christians and the Torah to the Jews. It's just that simple. That's the reason why all of this is going on. It's not about protecting Jews. If it were only about protecting Jews, they have enough money and they have enough influence that they could buy an island someplace and they could go to that island and they could have their Jewish state there, and nobody would go there and bother them. The reason why it had to be that land over there is because that is what that book specifies. Okay? Again, folks, this isn't even the fine print anymore. Okay? It has been here, sitting there as a living, breathing conspiracy, secret, whatever you want to call it, for thousands of years, just waiting for rational people to sit down and understand for themselves. All right, let's pick it up again.
And since Netanyahu's party, Likud, going back to its opening charter in 1977, said there will never be a Palestinian state, nothing to talk about, no terms, no security arrangements to make it possible, this will all be Israel's sovereignty from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean, there was never a basis for a diplomatic way out within Israel from Netanyahu's point of view. Now,
okay, folks. So again, we're not beating Professor Sachs over the head here, folks. Like I said, we hold him in very high regard, very high esteem. We don't mistrust him at all. We don't assume he's a disinfo agent. But he's an educated man. He grew up, according to him, within, you know, this Jewish world. And he knows, first of all, it's not just from the Jordan to the Mediterranean, as he has said many times on other programs. It is from the Nile to the Euphrates. Okay. So to simply minimize these problems that we have, that Israel doesn't, that the Jews don't intend to steal everything in the Middle East, is just not accurate, folks. It's not accurate. Now, again, we're not casting aspersions on him. We're not calling into question his motives. But his language hasn't been liberated, folks. His language hasn't been liberated. And he's not the only one. You know, I mean, this topic of Greater Israel really only started to get discussed within, you know, these alternative media outlets since October the 7th. And it was because you had nutcases like Smotrich and Ben-Gavir and some of the others who were openly talking about it. But they didn't pull this out of thin air, folks. It's been sitting there for thousands of years just waiting for people to sit down and study it for themselves. Okay, the fine print. Now, at this point, I know I can hear some of you out there saying to yourself, all right, well, big deal. Why do we need to have this conversation now? Well, because, folks, each one of you out there listening to this program, all 10 of you, no, it's a little bit more than 10, you have friends, you have family members, you have coworkers, you have neighbors, you have people where you go to church together, and they want to know too, folks. They want to know what the hell is going on in our world. They want to know why their lives are falling apart. And, you know, people, unfortunately, they're very simple. And especially in the West, they want it to be as quick and simple an answer as possible. And so this is our opportunity, folks, and it may not come up again, to where we can say, look, these people, the same people that murdered Jesus Christ, and who are yanking the President of the United States around, like right now, like a poodle on a leash, okay? They intend to steal everything in the Middle East, and then after they have stolen that, they intend to use that as their base of operations for stealing the rest of the world. And so your friends, your family members, your coworkers, church members, whatever, are going to say, well, why would they want to do that? Because it's right there in the Bible. You can go right to it. The first five books of the Bible, it's mentioned numerous times. And once you give them this, you know, I mean, there's this old saying, folks, give a man a fish and he'll eat today. Teach him to fish and he'll eat every day. Once you teach your friends, family members, coworkers, whatever, how to put the pieces of this puzzle together, then the next thing you know, they are out there telling all of their friends and family members the same thing. And then pretty soon, we have begun this process of cleansing our system as individuals, as entire societies, civilizations, of all of this Judaic poison that has clouded our thinking and has kept the truth hidden from us. That is their strength against us, folks, is to keep us in the dark, keep us confused, deluded, deranged, whatever. All right, let's continue on.
There's a second variant in Israel which gives a theological interpretation of this. Netanyahu's interpretation is mainly security and secular, with the only theological twinge being this idea that they're always out to kill us every generation. So I'd say Netanyahu is the basically the security vision, but again, to my mind, irrational, cruel, illegal, self-defeating, disastrous, not real.
No, folks, no, there's nothing illegal or cruel or anything else about what the Jews are doing. Not if you plug into the equation the fact that they are following their Judaism. That's what Jews do, folks. Christians follow their Christianity. Muslims follow their Islam. Buddhists follow their Buddhism. Hindus follow their Hinduism. Jews follow their Judaism, and their Judaism on this is very clear. Go in and steal the land and kill everything in sight. So again, now exactly why Dr. Sachs doesn't want to go there, I don't know. Again, I'm not calling into question his motives. Maybe he just didn't really get a really heavy dose of that Judaism, folks. I mean, after all, it has kind of remained subterranean for the last 2,000 or so years because the Jews were forced to live amongst the Gentiles, and they had to, you know, they had to mind themselves. They had to make sure that they didn't cross the line. Nevertheless, folks, there's no mystery surrounding any of this as to why it's all taking place. And what is cruel to the Gentile, meaning what has been done in Gaza, what's happening in Lebanon right now, to the Jews, this isn't cruel, this is commanded. It would be, in their mindset, according to what their religion teaches them and has for thousands of years, it would be a sin if they didn't do it. All right, let's continue.
Security for Israel, but security in the phrase, we kill them before they kill us. Then is a very different variant that is now the coalition partners, represented by two now well-known leaders to us, Ben-Gavir and Smotrich, two cabinet ministers who are religious. Religious with a very strange idea. And
okay, folks, so yes, it's true. There are these two nutcases, Smotrich and Ben-Gavir, who have been now moved to the front of the class. But it's not a strange religious, these are not strange religious ideas that they are following. It's not something that's new. It's not a perversion. You'll remember on the last program that we did, we talked about Clarence the Crocodile. Interestingly enough, this, I think, 30-year-old crocodile had been turned into a pet by this family in Israel. For 30 years, you know, there was this peaceful coexistence. Clarence was there in his, I guess, his cage, and they fed him, and they gave him, you know, he didn't have to go hunting for his food. He didn't have to fight with other crocodiles. And you would think that in that 30 years that Clarence would have become domesticated, okay, the way that we have done with cats and dogs and things like that. And then out of the blue, folks, without any warning, Clarence attacks one of the people who is responsible for feeding him and taking care of him. And the guy had to go through 9 hours of very complicated surgery. We don't know what kind of shape he's in. And the people who knew Clarence are just shocked. They can't believe that out of the blue that Clarence would suddenly change in this fashion. Well, Clarence did not change, folks. Clarence has always been Clarence. The fact that he did not behave according to how he has been programmed to behave by his biology and his DNA is only indicative of that, that he, for the first 30 years, he didn't listen to that call of the wild. Okay. So the Clarence that attacked the caretaker was not some new Clarence. It's the same old Clarence. And it's like that with the Jews as well, folks, whether we call them Jews or Hebrews or Israelites or whatever. The basic spiritual DNA has been the same. If nuclear weapons and if control of media and governments existed 2,000 years ago, folks, or 3,000 years ago, or 4 or 5 or 6,000 years ago, then everything that we're seeing take place right now would have been a done deal thousands of years ago. Because the nature of the beast has not changed. All right, let's continue.
It's a new form of Judaism, which actually attaches to some ancient texts, but was not a real form of Judaism for 2,000 years.
It's not what I grew up with at all.
It's not what...
Okay, folks, so no, it's not a new form of Judaism at all. The fact that it has been gone or not apparent there for the last 2,000 years, folks, means that it's just been sleeping. It's been dormant. The Jews understood that they were not in any position to go back to Palestine, back to the Holy Land, and pick up where things were interrupted after 70 AD. Okay? And that's incorrect as well, Dr. Sachs and Tucker Carlson, where Dr. Sachs says, this isn't the Judaism that I grew up with, and Tucker Carlson adds and says, wasn't the Judaism that I grew up with. Yes, it was. Yeah. Professor Sachs, if you attended Hebrew school or if you attended synagogue, okay, every week is the reading of the Parsha, where they take some section out of one of the five first books of the Torah, okay, the five books of Moses, and that's the portion that is read for that week. Just as Christians, we have a yearly reading of the New Testament, okay? And so, if Professor Sachs went through Hebrew school or if he went to synagogue, whatever, he would have heard all of those passages, whether they were in Genesis or Exodus or Deuteronomy or Leviticus or Numbers or whatever, talking about the Nile to the Euphrates, talking about slaughtering Amalek, talking about taking little Gentile girls captive after you've murdered their parents and their brothers, taking them captive, as long as they are virgins. And we can figure out what that means, folks. Why the little girls who have never been with a man were to be taken and kept by the Hebrew soldiers. Okay. And as far as Tucker Carlson, again, I don't want to be overly critical of either of them. It's the Judaism that you grew up with too, Tucker. Okay. Your Bible has in it book of Genesis, book of Exodus, and Deuteronomy, and Leviticus, and Numbers, and all of the others, and it's very clear in there, very clear. All of this business, the promised land, Nile to the Euphrates. Okay. So let's just stop pretending that this is something new. It isn't, folks. It's really, really old. I'm reminded of that scene in that horrible, horrible Jew, Steven Spielberg, his remake of the movie War of the Worlds. And that opening scene when these, I don't know what you would call them, these spaceships or whatever, and they're erupting out of the earth. And they had been there for hundreds of years, thousands of years, just laying there under the earth. And then in the movie, you know, when the lightning is striking, what it is that the aliens are being, it's not lightning, it's some type of ray that sends them down into the earth so that they can get into these machines and activate them and erupt out of the earth and then begin their war of extinction. And without Spielberg probably realizing it, because I think he made the movie in the way that he did to try to plant the idea in the minds of Gentiles, especially in the West, especially in America, that it was Islam that was actually the, you know, that was the monster in that film. It said, just like in Independence Day, they tried to cast the spell over the Gentile brain, saying that we had to actually fear Islam and the Muslims, that they are going to take over and all the rest of that. But what he was actually doing was telling the story of the Jews. Okay, let's continue on.
I grew up with as a Jew at all. It's something absolutely late 20th century, early 21st century. One of the parties is called Jewish Power.
Okay, folks, so late 20th century, early, sorry, I'm writing this down, 21st century. Okay, maybe 20th century B.C., okay, but not 20th century A.D., okay? It's been here for thousands of years. Now, again, there's nothing new about this, folks, and, you know, those of you who follow the work that we do on the website know that we have very short patience, a short amount of patience. When anybody tries to interject in this discussion, oh, well, this is because of the Scofield Bible. This is because of Zionism. You know, this isn't the Torah true Jews. These are the fake Jews. No, no, no. Okay? It's not that. It's been here for thousands of years. It has nothing to do with the Khazars. It has nothing to do with the Talmud. It has everything to do with Moses, at least the Moses that we read about in the Old Testament, and with those Jews who on the morning of Crucifixion Friday were screaming for Jesus' murder. This is a point that I try to point out often in these discussions, and which for whatever reason just doesn't seem to catch on. You know, when I hear people talking about, you know, they're not real Jews, they're Khazar Jews, and they don't follow the Old Testament or the Torah, they follow the Talmud. And then I'll remind them, I'll say, well, then what kind of Jews were they who orchestrated the murder of Jesus Christ? Because the Khazars wouldn't come along into the picture for another, I don't know, 600 years. And the Talmud wouldn't be written for several hundred years later. All right, let's pick it up here, folks.
And it is the idea that...
That's its actual name?
Yes. In Hebrew, yes. We redeem God's promise to us by becoming greater Israel. So the act of this expanded Israel is a religious demand upon us. This is our redemption, is this very political military program that we have. And that is Smotrich and Ben-Gavir, which says on a religious basis, we couldn't have a state of Palestine next door. God gave us that land. That's ours. That's part of the promised land. That's not theirs.
Okay, so that is the end of the soundbite involving Professor Sachs, Dr. Carlson. So, again, folks, redeeming, redemption, this is all old stuff. These are not words invented by Theodore Herzl. Problem's been there, just like Clarence the Crocodile. He was exactly what he was when he tried to kill and eat his caretaker. He is exactly what he was then when he was born. And what he was when he was born is exactly who all of his ancestors were, going back, I don't know, millions of years maybe. The point is that there is no, we have to deal with the beast based upon its own nature. And what that means, folks, is that we have to understand that there is a two-state solution to this. And I don't mean in the Middle East. I mean on the planet, okay? There is the Gentile state, and there is the Jewish state. And what that means is, folks, the Gentiles have to think and they have to behave like Gentiles. We can't, we simply don't have it within us to think and behave like Jews. We don't. Just as Cain and Abel were complete opposites from each other, and just as the Jews are very quick to remind us on a regular basis how they are completely different from us, okay, we can't allow them to have, we cannot allow them to use our minds as parking lots for their ideas. You can see where it has brought the world today, folks, because of this one tiny speck of inhumanity and the amount of trouble that they have caused. And why? Is it because we can't defeat them? No. It's because the Gentiles have too much of that polluted, contaminated Jewish thought in their own thought processes. And why do they have that, folks? Because they won't parse through this business and think for themselves. Now, in the last program, I used this example of, you know, the guy who goes to the doctor because he's got a splinter in his thumb. And the doctor gives him this rather extreme advice. He says, look, let's just make sure that this problem never happens again when you get a splinter. And let's cut off your hands and your feet. You'll never have to worry about getting splinters again. And that's true, folks. You cut off the hands and the feet and there will be no splinters. Okay, there will be nothing else either. No walking, no taking care of your life. Okay, just because somebody seems to have some degree of expertise on something doesn't mean that what they're saying at that moment is in your best interest. That their therapy is one that you should take. Remember, folks, as we said a couple of programs back, in many ways, the vaccination of the Gentile mind, especially the Western Gentile mind, with the live dangerous virus of Judaism, meaning, you know, injecting it right into our mental and spiritual bloodstream by including the teachings of Moses with the teachings of Jesus. In many ways, folks, it's very representative and similar to the forced COVID vaccines. It's something that seemed to be the right thing to do at the time to some people. It was supported by quote-unquote medical science. You had thousands, tens of thousands, maybe millions of doctors around the world who were telling their patients, yes, get this vaccine. Go ahead, get it. It's good for you. And people did this because they trusted the expertise of those whose job is to keep us healthy. And then it comes out later what a disaster this was. People are sick and dying now from it, just as the West is sick and dying as a result of getting this vaccine 2,000 years ago with the live virus of Judaism. So we have to be willing, folks, to think for ourselves and to step away from whatever our family might say, fathers, mothers, what our church might say. And I say this, folks, as a Catholic, even what the Pope may say. If the Pope says that our Christian faith is based upon the same teachings found in the Old Testament that command the mass murder of innocent people, there's something about that that doesn't smell right, folks. And just because he may be a quote-unquote doctor, okay, a doctor of the faith, I'm going to be very reluctant to stick that needle in my arm. Because once it's in you, folks, it's in you, and it may be impossible to get it out. Anyway, folks, I had planned on only spending about 30 minutes doing this, and as it turns out, we're actually close to an hour. I hope that it wasn't too tedious, folks. Again, like I said before, tomorrow with Stas, or Saturday with Stas, it should be purely political, and we'll stay away from the heavier philosophical things, but we have to do this, folks. We have to have this conversation. And we have to multiply this conversation. We have to shout it out loud. And the louder that we do, folks, the better our chances are of getting through this thing in one piece. Lastly, folks, I meant to bring this up at the beginning of the program. You can blame it on the fact that I am a man of advancing years. There's nothing anti-Semitic about being against the Jews. If that's the case, then the greatest anti-Semite in human history, obviously, was Jesus Christ. This is just a turn of phrase, folks. Just like the word hate, you know, we hear Tucker Carlson say often, you know, as a Christian, I'm not allowed to hate people. Okay, well, that's fine. So what's the word that you would use in describing how Jesus dealt with the Jews? Did he hate them? No, folks. He loved all of those people who were the past, present, and future victims of those Jews. It was his love for the Gentiles and for those very small number of Jews who wanted to be liberated from their Judaism. It was his love for them that caused him to react against them in the fashion that he did. And for those people who say, I will bless those who bless thee, curse those who curse thee, you know, they're quoting from Genesis. Folks, what blessings have any of us received as a result of blessing the Jews? I'm not going to hold my breath waiting for an answer to that. Anyway, folks, that's it for today on this Thursday, May the 7th, 2026 edition of the Beyond the Truth broadcast. I thank you for your time and for your attention. I realize that this is not you know, this is a tough piece of meat too, folks. I won't pretend to keep things at a really elementary level. It's too late for that. We don't have much time. We really need to, we need a crash course on this, and it means we have to shove as much of this into our brains as possible. But I have no doubt, folks, that in the end, all of this is going to pay off. And even if we don't live to see it, we know that in the end, Jesus is King, always has been, always will be. And again, the Terminators, folks, they will harvest what they have sown. So until we meet again, folks, stay safe, stay strong, and keep the faith.